She's stuck, because you're trying to process. I'm like, what's happening? What's happening? Why didn't she come out? Like, there's the shoulders, and why didn't she come out? It's just in my own world there, and I'm hanging out there for a second, and then it just comes to me, she's waiting.
Oh. Holy Wild Birth is a podcast embracing the reclamation of giving birth, rooted in God's original design, undisturbed.
Here, we share homebirth stories highlighting God's presence as the great midwife, as well as conversations about all aspects of a holistic, spirit-led childbearing year. From the perspectives of myself, traditional midwife Lauren Hall of Rooted in Eden Private Contract Association,
and me, holistic doula and birthkeeper Brooke Collier of Sister Birth.
To choose a holy wild birth journey is to consecrate all your decisions unto the Lord.
And to reclaim creation unadulterated by centuries of human attempts to control and improve upon what God has already called good.
Please remember, birth is not a medical event, but a natural process. We are not your care providers, and this should not be taken as medical advice.
Hiya, sisters, and welcome to our latest episode of Holy Wild Birth. On this episode, I'm joined by a guest named Stacy, who I pursued and asked her if she would be willing to share the birth story of her fifth baby, because it just was dripping with joy and just so many signs of a mama who was owning her birth, taking responsibility, all the things that we here at Holy Wild Birth love to celebrate. And so she just has a rich story to tell and has such a sweet way of telling it. So I encourage you to grab your beverage of choice and make yourself comfy and pop in those earbuds and give this story a listen. As we dive into today's birth story, just a reminder that the choices and beliefs of the mamas sharing their stories here are as individual and varied as the storyteller herself and do not necessarily reflect the beliefs or recommended actions of Lauren and or Brooke. Stacy, hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too, sincerely. So, listeners, I saw Stacy's story on Facebook and just was like, "Ooh, this is a fun one." So I pursued her and I said, "Would you possibly be willing to come on the podcast and tell that story?" And she said yes, which I'm so glad for. But let's let Stacy introduce herself. So if you want to tell the listeners just a little bit about you, your family, whereabouts you're from, anything you're interested in besides birth, because that's a given.
Of course. Yes. So I grew up in like the Dayton area, and I actually grew up really mainstream for most things, but in a big family. So it was always on my heart to have a big family. But I wasn't raised at all around home birth, which is important to note because my story can be a little confusing because my mom is actually a home birth midwife. So when I say that, people think that I was raised in that, but I wasn't. My mom had all of her babies, all 10 of her children in the hospital. And, pursued birth work later in life, and I was already grown and married at that time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So wow. It's different than what people think if I don't give a little bit of backstory. So I was raised, I was homeschooled, but otherwise very mainstream. And so it's actually so funny to me still that when my husband and I got married, and my family of origin was starting to become more and more natural minded, starting to pursue, better food choices and just all of the things that come together for a more holistic lifestyle. He asked me, he's like, "We're not going to be those weird people that like have their babies at home, right?" And we both laughed. And I was like, "Of course not. That's so weird." Haha. And so now here we are, you know, where we are now. So, but that really was the start. Like, as my mom pursued midwifery, as I was a young adult already, you know, just getting married, it was in my ear, but not on my radar. But we had a number of years of infertility that we addressed again with nutrition and supplements, things like that. And so when I got pregnant, it was very much my desire to stay outside of the Western medical system. So we did intend a home birth with
Okay.
my first baby. And I didn't know at the time that I just really did not trust myself. I wasn't afraid of birth at all, which is kind of surprising given the narrative that most of us are generally taught regarding birth. You know, everything that you see about birth is women screaming in pain on TV, you know, or people will talk about it and be like, oh, the most painful thing I've done, and everything is like drama and fear and scary and all of that. I didn't feel that way, but I didn't know that at the time I didn't trust myself. So that was a very long labor, and I ended up choosing a non-medical transfer to the local hospital where my son was born vaginally after I had an epidural. But it was a very, very horrific experience. We experienced a lot of harassment and bullying and a medical kidnapping,
Oh
actually.
no. Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh
Yes.
gosh.
They admitted my baby to the NICU, my healthy baby to the NICU. There was an empty bed. So they filled it with my baby.
Oh my gosh.
And it was by far the most traumatic experience of my life. And I did not know at the time that they were pursuing also a CPS case against me, because I tried to decline antibiotics for him
Come now.
when he was not sick. I found that out after the fact when I went and got my records. They called, and CPS actually declined to open an investigation against me because they said I was receiving adequate medical care for the infant, and I could basically choose to do whatever I wanted with my own body because they also
You
listed off.
CPS?
Yeah, it was very bizarre. Like, they're like, well, you know, she can die if she wants to, basically, is what it said. Like, it, you know, she can do whatever she wants, but she's accepting because I did acquiesce and I did allow them to give him antibiotics, which, looking back, probably is what kept us intact as a family at that time, because
Oh,
they
wow.
did, they let it go. And after 2 days, there was shift change, and a new NICU overseer or whatever came in, and she told me, you know, if you ever ask me about this, if you ever tell anybody about this, I'll deny it, but I'm very sorry for what has happened to you and your family. I will sign everything you need, but you have to get out on my watch, or I don't know how long they'll keep you here. Because we had been trying, you know,
Oh
since the
my
second we
word.
walked in to leave. And so we did. We got everything done that they wanted done, and we got out.
Wow.
And we came home, and I was like, well, that will never happen again.
I bet.
I will learn whatever I have to learn in order to protect myself and my child from what we just experienced,
Yeah.
especially since there was no need for it.
That's
There was
horrific.
no need for the transfer in the first place. I was just so exhausted. It had been well over 24 hours, and I had been pushing for over 8. And you know, vomiting for so long, and I was just so tired. which is fine. You know, I should be able to transfer and receive the care that I want and still yes. have, you know, a normal birth. But I knew that was a risk I was taking, and turns out I drew the short straw. Mm-hmm. But I'm also not sorry, because I have learned and grown so much from that. But that was a big catalyst for a gradual progression of like less and less interference, less and less supervision, less and less other authority around my birth, because I got pregnant again 9 months postpartum from that intentionally. And I just remember thinking, the only thing that has to be different is what I think. And I knew that because, of course, all I'd been thinking about is, but you know, where did we go wrong here? How did we wind up here? And I just kept playing it over and over in my mind. And I'm like, well, I don't actually like to labor in the water. I hate it. I didn't know that, since I'd never labored in the water before. But it was a should, right? Oh, everybody yeah. loves the water. Water helps with pain, all this, you know, that whole mindset. And so I kept getting into the birth pool, but I wasn't progressing because I wasn't comfortable. Mm-hmm. I was just too short to brace my feet the way I wanted to. And every time I turned over, I felt like pushing, even though it wasn't time to push. And so I just kept like turning and turning and turning, and I couldn't get to where I wanted. But it never entered my mind to say, I don't like this, and I'm going to get out. You know,
that's that not trusting yourself that you were talking about. You didn't trust your own instinct and impression of that situation, and thought you were caught up in the should and the vision that maybe you had digested from outside of yourself instead of.
Yes.
Listening to your own body.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Or that someone else would notice and like prompt me along. Like if that was the case, because I had my husband there, I had my sister there, and my mom, who is a midwife. And so I just, you know, thought other people would guide me, I guess, is this like expectation that I didn't know that I had. And they were all expecting me to guide me, you know. So because I didn't say anything, nothing changed. And so I kept going over that and over that in my mind during my daughter's pregnancy. And I was like, well, the next time I'm going to say everything, you know, I'm going to say everything, and it's going to be different. And I just kept telling myself, there is no fear. There is no pain. There is no fear and no pain. Everything is pressure. Everything is bringing me towards my baby. And if I run to it instead of from it, that's the way you go through, you know? So I went from a 36-hour labor with 8 hours of pushing and a non-emergent hospital transfer, still a vaginal delivery, but just absolutely traumatic experience, to I had my daughter in under 4 hours at home, and it was just like, here we go, you know. And amazing. I discovered that I actually like to labor in bed, which is what everybody says, you know, you don't have to birth on your back in bed, you know. And so I was like, the one thing we're not going to do is lay down in our bed. And I was like, actually, the one thing I want to do is lay down in my bed by myself in the dark, in the quiet.
Yeah.
And that works for me.
Yeah. You know, that brings up a really common error that I think happens. Like, we have this message of, you don't have to be in the bed. And somehow that gets turned into, therefore you should never be in the bed, which is actually not what I think anyone's trying to say, but I have felt that too. So
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, it's like bad to be in the bed. The point is, you have choices.
Yes.
Right. But we don't read it that way.
I set it up in my mind that there are certain choices, you know, water is the one. and bed is the last one. And I still, for the next two pregnancies, I still delivered my babies in the water because I just still had this, like, that's what you should do. So I labored in the bed. And then as soon as it was time for the baby to come, I was like, it's time for the baby to come. I have to get in the pool and then deliver the baby in two pushes in the water. And everybody's like, what are you doing? This is strange. I'm like, I don't know. Isn't that what we do? We deliver our babies in the water. Like, for my middle birth was my fastest. My middle child was born in an hour and 40 minutes. And my husband, you know, I like stood up out of the bed and I'm like, the baby's coming. It's time right now. I'm going to get in the pool. And I could hear him. And he was talking to my mom. You know, he's like, there's no water. And she's like, well, put her in anyway. He's like, no, there's no water. And she's like, I don't think she's going to let you. I was like, you know, we're getting in the pool. She's like, just put her in. And there was like 6 inches of water in there, you know. But immediately, like, my feet hit the water. I was pushing and he was out in two pushes, you know. And
but I'm not like, under – he probably wasn't actually born in the water, right? Above the water? Was. Oh, you did manage to get down low enough?
Well, once I got in, it dispersed it, you know, okay, a little bit higher. And so it was like almost halfway, you know. It's like, you guys are just being dramatic. And everybody's looking at me like, oh, okay, whatever. So he was. But with each birth, I just kept pressing into what I wanted versus what I thought I should want. Mm-hmm. And I refined it, mm-hmm. you know, each time. And move towards, I finally, for my last two, I was like, I don't actually need a birth pool. I don't want a birth pool. And my husband was kind of nervous about that. He's like, what if you go into labor and then you want water and we don't have one? You know, we didn't get one. And I was like, well, we do have a bathtub.
Yep.
You know? And he just looked at me like that was crazy. And I was like, well, what do you think everybody did before we had these fancy special pools? Like, you would just clean the tub and get in the tub.
Yeah. You know?
Like, we use non-toxic cleaner. Like, you just wash out the tub and I'll get in the tub. So, you know, it's just, it's been a journey each time leading up to this last one, which is where I definitely by far felt the most that I had taken control of my own story, my own responsibility. And I had the most empowered experience that I've had.
Awesome. And that's where we're going to do the deeper dive. So if you haven't caught on, you guys, I don't think Stacy said this overtly, but she has 5 children. So she was kind of giving us like an overview of the themes that progressed during those first 4. And then that leads us up to this 5th one. Shall we start with a little bit about the pregnancy for your 5th?
Sure.
Sure. Yeah, what was it like finding out you're pregnant and then anything notable or interesting about the pregnancy itself?
I mean, for me, each one has gotten harder. Mm. Not because it's actually harder, just because I have more kids and I'm older.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I just feel myself more and more tired each time. And you try to do all the things, all the nutritious things. And like, I'm trying to rest, but I have 4 small children at home that I'm homeschooling, that I'm, you know, attachment parenting. And
yeah.
So it was very much on purpose, but it was also very much, this is our last one. You know, because of all those years of infertility, I had a later start than what we would have planned. Mm-hmm. But we're here now, you know. I'm like, I'm 36. This is probably the last time I really want to do this big job. So that was kind of our mindset going into it, was definitely this is the last one. All of my pregnancies have been very, very kind of standard, low risk, healthy baby, healthy mom, very hands-off approach. I don't do ultrasounds and things like that. I just, if there was cause for concern, and an ultrasound would be beneficial, I would do that. But I don't personally embrace the risks for not a medical reason. So just a very, very hands-off approach to pregnancy. And I managed it completely by myself. I told my husband at the beginning, I was like, we are going to have an unassisted birth.
You knew, like, early on that you wanted to do it that way. Yeah.
Yes. My mom had moved out of state, actually before I had my fourth, and she came back to Ohio for the birth. But I found that not intentionally, not from her, but put a lot of pressure on me, feeling like, how long do I ask her to come for? I'm disrupting her whole life, you know, because she has to leave her home and all of her routines and her pets and all of those things played into that. And it was another winter baby, and my mom moved out of state to avoid Ohio winters.
You're like, come back to winter, mom. I need ya.
Because the timing of it was almost exactly matched up with my fourth.
Oh, wow.
Which was also on purpose and very exciting to me. I loved having like a Christmas time baby. I love the sheltering in, not going anywhere. It's so peaceful to me. It's just the most peaceful postpartum experience that I have known. And so that was on purpose.
Okay. Yeah.
For me. But, you know, not so convenient for everyone else. And so my due date was Thanksgiving weekend. And so that was a factor too. I was like, you know, is she going to be uprooted from her whole life over the whole holiday season? Because I could go weeks, you know, my middle child was 42 plus six. So if I go 3 weeks over, that's the whole holiday season. So
that's so much mental stress. Like, truly, even if your mom doesn't want to put that on you at all, it's definitely a thing. If you have somebody traveling to come to your birth, it's like, how do we nail the timing? Yeah. I don't want any inconvenience. I completely understand that.
All of those things. So I was like, you know, all of my pregnancies have been low risk. I'm healthy. You know, I'm like, we're going to have an unassisted, you know. And he was like, well, you know, like, what about the other local midwives here? He's like, you know them all. I was like, yeah, but I don't want anybody there. As much as I love sharing and I don't mind sharing, in the moment and during that time period, I am so private. I mean, I will put up like fake Facebook or social media posts to try to make sure nobody knows that if and when I think labor is on the horizon. I just, you know, I don't release a due date ever. I just give like a month or a season. I'm like, it'll be a summertime baby or a winter baby. I just don't want the questions. I don't want the watching. It feels so much more peaceful to me if it's private. And I'm like, and it is private. Like, no one else was here when I created this baby with my husband. And it's perfectly fine for no one else to be here when I welcome this baby with my husband. And he was kind of like, what? He's like, you know, it's been a gradual journey from we're not those weird home birth people to we're unassisted home birth people.
One very large change in posture that happened very incrementally and slowly over time.
Truly, yes. I'm like, our firstborn just turned 9. So, you know, that is truly, it is a decade long journey.
Yeah.
That brought us to this point. And I told him, I said, well, you know, tell me what you're afraid of, or tell me what you think having a midwife here would change. Because ultimately, if we have a very serious, you know, true emergency, we can call 911. That's not off the table ever, you know, if you have a problem. And so we went back and forth, and I attended a hands-on midwifery workshop in North Carolina. I drove down there during my first trimester. I saw it posted.
That's awesome.
And I messaged the coordinator, and I was like, I'm not trying to be a midwife or anything, but I just kind of want to come and observe and like get some skills for my own birth. And she was like, sure, honey, come
That's
on down.
That's awesome, Stacey. The way to go. That's so great. So were they covering things like shoulder dystocia and emergent stuff? You were just kind of studying up. I love that you did that. Like, I cover those things in my Free Birth with God course, but getting the hands-on experience, so smart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was excited. I was like, I can do this. And I took my nursing toddler with me. What an experience, you know, to be newly pregnant, morning sickness, and be like, I'm going to drive myself across the U.S. to this workshop, because I didn't want to have any fear. I didn't want to have that thought of, what if, you know, what if there's shoulder dystocia and you don't know what to do?
Yeah.
You know, what if? I didn't want that. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna go. I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna learn. I'm gonna ask questions. You know, we can read books and we can, you know, view materials. And it was important to me, just for that factor of being as educated as I can, and not allowing fear to be present in my birthing space. And I told him, I was like, and I can always use this information. You know, I go to other people's births, mm-hmm. and not in a professional paid capacity, but in a supportive role. You know, I'm like, I've been present at my sister's births and other friends, and I would be willing to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that my mom has said, you know, she's like, we should all as women have some level of these skills so that we can support our friends, our sisters, our daughters. Yes. And I think that that's true. I think that we all should have at least some level of experience or understanding or willingness or whatever.
Yeah, I have a friend and fellow podcaster, Rebecca, who likes to say that things like this should be what she calls basic female competencies.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes. And ancestrally, probably these were basic female competencies. Your auntie and your sisters and your mother would have kind of known the way around these skills.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. For sure. Yes.
I also love, I just want to point out like what you said about you wanted to do it because you didn't want to have fear. And I found that people who are planning free births tend to have one of two approaches to like how deeply to study these kinds of things. One is the kind of like, I don't want to look at that and I don't want to talk about it or think about it because I might be inviting it in some sideways way, or just I'm afraid it'll make me more scared. And then there's the approach of, no, actually, let's look that right in the face and study it and know it and get familiar with it, so it loses its power over me because I'm engaging with it. And then I'm prepared and I know some things. So you chose that path, which is honestly the path that I recommend. But that's definitely not true in the whole free birth community. There's, I think, a bigger set that's like almost pretend those things don't happen. You know, I don't know if you've noticed that, but
I have. Yes. Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I'll stop interrupting you now. Carry on. But great. No. I love that you did that so much.
I did too. I honestly did too. There was no issue with the birth, but it did do what I intended it to do. It did take away, like you said, that power over you. It removes that, and it opened up more discussions between me and my husband. And he got on board. I was like, well, I'm going to do it whether you're on board or not. So you should just get on board. And he was like, you know what? I'm with you. You know, I was like, you're not the one birthing. And if I ever, you know, if I ever feel or notice, or either of us does, you know, that something is wrong, we can always change course. You're never locked into your choice, you know, if something happens. I said, but, you know, looking at my history, you know, I'm like, by now I have a solid history. This is my fifth, you know, I'm like, I have four vaginal births, all without complications, and I'm ready for this, and I'm excited about it. You know, it was a purposeful choice for the experience that it would be, not a choice, you know, like from lack. And that felt very different to me. It felt very much like stepping into fully being in charge of what happened to me. And all of my birth experiences at home, you know, my mom is very hands off, and I was never, you know, interfered with at home or anything like that. But I didn't realize how much I was still like very aware of other people and just waiting for someone else to cue me with different things. And I do think I progressed through that with each one, but it became very clear to me with this last birth and just the way everything unfolded that it was so different when there, I didn't perceive anyone else that was in the home at the time as a voice of authority except myself. And not that my husband doesn't have, you know, a voice, but he's my husband, he's my partner, he's my equal, and he's not the one in labor, you know. So it's not his responsibility to know what to do next. It's his responsibility to support me through whatever I choose to do next in that process. And
Yeah, well
so
said.
it was just everything about this birth was different. I've always, all my other babies, I've gone into labor and labored through the night. And this is the very first time that I went into labor at dinner time. And so all my kids are up. And I was like, what an experience. But it was a good experience, you know. And each time I made a decision for myself, it changed the dynamic in a good way. You know, I asked my two sisters to be here for my kids, because I actually attended someone else's birth that there wasn't a designated person for other young children. And everything was fine, and she was very happy with her birth experience. But I definitely cued into, I would not be okay if my toddler, because my son is, you know, he was turning two that week.
That's really little, yeah.
So that's very little. And I would not be okay with him crying and feeling like I, you know, needed to be in that, or that my husband needed to step away. If he's the only person I have here for me, I want him here for me.
Absolutely.
So I asked both my sisters to be here, and I hired a birth photographer because I was like, I want pictures of
The pictures
this.
are so good.
They were everything that I asked. Her style is very much what aligns with what I like anyway, but it's just very storybook, you know, just telling the story the way it happened, which is what I was looking for. It's like, I want to see what happened for myself. And I want to be able to show it to my children and share it with my children, because the bigger ones have seen, you know, but my younger ones will not have as much awareness. But if I, you know, if I have some things and we keep talking about them and stuff like that. So those are the only other people that I wanted there.
In other words,
And
none of them were particularly birth nerds or birth professionals of any sort. They were just, well, one was a visual storyteller and the other were your sisters. And of course, your husband.
and my husband.
Was
Yes.
this your first time having a birth photographer, as a side note?
It was. I there was a friend who was going to come to my fourth birth, and she ended up being out of town when I had
Oh,
the baby.
bummer.
So that is, and that's another thing. When that happened, I realized how important it was to me. And so knowing this was my last one, that became very important to me. And the birth photographer that I used is someone else in the home birth community.
Right.
And so I knew that she was very comfortable with
That
how it
matters
was
a lot.
made. Yes. Because, and I didn't think about that until afterwards, you know, that the value of that, of someone who knows and respects home birth, and I wouldn't have to be explaining or worrying about her being uncomfortable.
Yes.
That was highly valued to me as well. So yeah, nobody was there to serve me physically except for my husband. And so when I when I felt the very first contraction, I'm very specific and intentional with birth. And so there is no wandering. I don't like to wander. So if we start, then it's go time. And that's just my path. And so I didn't actually want to have the baby that day because it had been such a stressful day. I was so stressed out. And my husband came home from work. I was crying. The toddler was crying. And I just gave the toddler to him. And I went into the bathroom. And I felt this very strong contraction. And I thought, no, just not today. I'm tired. You know, it's the end of the day. I'm crying. Baby's crying. And I sat in the bathroom and I kind of argued a little bit, you know, with God, as we all know we shouldn't, but still do. And I think that's okay to do, you know, to say what's on your heart, to, you know, he knows anyway, so you may as well speak the truth. And just kind of sat with that for a minute and, you know, said, no, like, no, not today. I'm not ready. And as I was saying those things, I knew that if I kept going down that path, it was going to be bad. It was going to be hard. It was going to be sad. And so I said, okay, you know, I have been telling this baby the entire pregnancy that I'm so excited. I'm so happy. And I'm ready to meet you when you are ready. And so if the baby is ready, then I can be ready too. And as soon as I said that, I felt a big release and the next contraction. And I was like, yeah, we're gonna have the baby. So it was 6 o'clock. That was when my husband got home, 6 o'clock. So I came out of the bathroom about 6:15. I was like, I guess I should tell him, you know, because he doesn't know. He's out there handling toddlers and he doesn't know we're having the baby tonight. So I should tell him. And I did. I came out and I said, so we're having the baby tonight. And he just kind of looked at me. He's like, okay, well, I'm putting some frozen pizzas in for the kids because they're hungry. They're asking. And I texted my sisters and they were both at work. And at first I was like, well, you know, whenever you think, and then I thought, no, don't do that. And I wrote back and said, could one of you at least please come now? Because they were both at work and they worked together. And so I knew that they would discuss, you know. And the older of the two, she texted back. She was like, I'm walking out the door. And she told me afterwards, she's like, I don't even remember if I told anybody or explained. She's like, I stood up and I was like, I'm out of here. And I just left. And I texted the photographer and I did the same thing with her. I was like, oh, it's fine, you know, like stay and put your kids to bed. It could be hours. When in reality, other than my first, all of my children have been born in 4 hours or less, with the shortest one being an hour and a half. So everybody is kind of going, okay, maybe we'll just come. I'm like, well, I've had two contractions, you know.
Oh, right. That's, yeah, I could see why you were hesitant to jump right to come now.
Yes, it feels a little silly to be like, I've had two contractions, you should come now, but also you should come now. So, yeah. and that was something else that I was very grateful for, that they had all said, and especially my photographer had said, she's like, you are not on a time schedule. You know, it's not you get X number of hours or whatever. She's like,
yes.
If it takes 3 days for your baby to come, I sleep on couches. I will go sleep in my car. If you decide that you want more privacy, she's like, I bring a pillow in my truck and I don't mind laying out there and waiting until somebody comes out and says, come back in.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much I needed that, mm-hmm. her to say that and her to feel that way and to feel like I wasn't putting her out. Because as soon as I texted both of them and said, you know what, yes, please come right now, the contractions immediately started to picked up, and I felt so much peace because there were no more decisions to make.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that that was a thing that was bothering me, was making the decision of when to call people, because as soon as it was over, it just completely felt like peace.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. And again,
nothing left to do now than be in labor.
Then be in labor to have this baby and let's do it, you know? And so I laid in the bed and my toddler came in and out and I just wanted to talk to him, you know, in between, because he would look at me but he wasn't upset, you know, but obviously this was his first experience. With the birth outside of his own. And so just kept, you know, talking to him. I'm like, yeah, I'm making some sounds. The baby's coming. And we always have always called the babies our babies, or we'll tell them it's your baby, you know, like your baby is coming, your baby brother or sister. And it was just so calm and peaceful. And I labored in the bed for maybe 20 or 30 minutes, and I started shaking. And I remember saying, why am I shaking, over and over, which I knew why I was shaking. You know, like, I know what transition is. I'm like, but you can't be in transition after 20 minutes.
Right.
You know, so I just kept going, this is odd, and I don't like the shaking. And so I asked, of all things, to get in the tub.
I actually had that question at the tip of my tongue. The question is, did you get in the tub? You did.
And the thing is, listen, I still didn't like it. My husband went in and got the tub ready. And my husband, you know, people that don't know him, we were made for each other. I am the fire and he is the ice. You know, I am the everything that is intense and he is the everything that is calm. And so he just, you know, rolls with it. This is fine. Everything's fine. He cleans the tub. He's like, sure, we'll get in the tub. And I get in the tub and I have one contraction. I'm like, I hate it. I don't like it. I don't want to be in here. He's like, okay, we get out of the tub. Let's go.
Bless him.
I know it. I'm like, you really, for me especially, you have to be that way. I'm like, don't even try to make me feel bad about it, because I'm not going to. This is your job. That's fine. But I still could not, you know, like, I liked the water, but I don't like the way I just kept fidgeting and I didn't like that. So I'm like, I don't like this. I want to go back to our room. He's like, okay, we go back to our room. So he helps me out of the tub. And our house is small. It's a small hallway back to my bedroom. And he's like, "Do you want to lay back down? Like, you liked that." And I'm like, "Yeah, I want to lay back down." I lay down. I had one contraction. I was like, "I don't like it. I want to get up. Get me back up." Because I like a turtle over here on my back, you know, like I can't get up. And he helped me get up, and I just. I, all the entire pregnancy, I kept thinking, why do we think that birth needs to take a long time? It's not like the baby really has that far to go, you know? I'm like, maybe sometimes it does need to take a long time, and that's probably more for us than the baby, you know? I'm like, but I don't need a long time. I don't want a long time. I'm tired of this. And I want to see the baby. And I just had this, you know what? I'm going to have the baby on the next contraction. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to have the baby, which I had asked my husband probably 10 or 20 minutes prior. I was like, I think you should look. I think you should look and see if you see the head. Because, and he made a, and again, he's very calm and he doesn't normally offend people, but it was so offensive to me. That he responded with already. And I was like, I don't know what you mean by that, but that is just so rude. I was like, forget it. No, I'm like, don't you even think about looking because I no longer appreciate your perspective.
Are so funny. Oh,
He's
goodness.
just like, no problem. We'll roll with that.
Okay,
So
so when you decided you wanted to be done, had you felt any like pushing sensations at all at that point? Or was
no.
this still in mentally? You're saying that
This was
mentally you were deciding, I would like to have my baby right now.
yes.
But physiologically, you weren't necessarily feeling that grunty, bearing
No.
down feeling.
No.
Okay, just clarifying.
I was experiencing definitely, I knew I could be close. I could hear my sounds shift. And I know that everyone else could hear that too, because my sister did tell me after the fact when she walked in to the house, she said, "I heard you." And I called our other sister and I was like, "If you don't leave right now, you will miss it.
Ah, okay.
You will miss it." Because they were about 20 minutes from my house. And she did. She also, like, she got that phone call. She left and she was here 15 minutes before the baby was delivered. So I knew that. I knew that my sounds were changing. I could feel that. But I hadn't started pushing. But I just had that thought, well, why not? You know, like, I know what I sound like when I change over, and I'm changing over. And the only reason I'm not pushing is because I think it's not time yet. Like, that's a weird phenomena, you know? And I remember thinking, should I tell them? Because I knew, I was like, I am going to deliver the baby's head on the next contraction. I wonder if I should tell them. But I couldn't speak. So I didn't tell them, and I was like, well, they're just gonna have to figure it out. which this also something similar happened with my fourth, where I was in the bed and I was asking, "Do you see the head? Do you see the head?" And they kept avoiding my question, which I knew meant no. And I just decided, I'm done. I don't wanna do this anymore. And I stood up. And on the next contraction, I grabbed my husband's arms, crouched to the floor, and delivered the baby's head, which I had spent the entire pregnancy telling him the only thing that matters is that you catch the baby. I want you to catch the baby, and I want to see your face when you catch the baby. So what do? I stand up out of the bed and I grab both of his arms and squat to the floor, which I obviously can't hold myself up at that point. So he's
Right.
squatting on the floor with me, holding me up, and he's like, "I can't catch the baby, you know, like what do you want me to do here?" And with my fourth, with Gabriel, I couldn't I couldn't change. I was like, this is it. And I remember thinking, I hope my mom is paying attention enough. Not that she wouldn't be paying attention, but I hope she's catching the cues of how quickly it's going, that she's going to reach in and catch the baby before, I mean, I'm crouching to the ground. It's not like the baby's going to fall. It would just slide out onto the ground, but I don't want that. I want somebody to catch the baby. But I had very forcefully warned everyone the entire pregnancy that I wanted Jonathan to do it. So I knew that my mom would be holding back, trying to let Jonathan do it. And they told me afterwards that they were kind of trying to talk. And she's like, do you want me to? And he's like, I can't. He's like, you can hold her up. Like, what are we going to do here? He's like, just catch the baby. And so she caught the baby, which is what I wanted her to do in that moment.
Yeah.
But afterwards, I was like, I really wanted you to catch the baby, you know, which I did not give the option for. I understand that. So then what do I do this time? Exact same thing. The whole pregnancy. I'm like, okay, this is it. You're gonna catch the baby. And not only that, I'm going to get a photo of you catching the baby. Like, this is all the money that we have spent on birth photography is for this one photo of you catching the baby.
No pressure or anything, Jonathan.
No pressure on either of you guys. I'm like, but to my photographer, please get this photo. And to my husband, please make a photo-worthy face when you catch the baby and catch the baby, right? And so I stand up, I decide, that's it. I'm going to deliver the head on the next contraction. I do the exact same thing. I grab my husband's arms and I squat down to the ground and I deliver the baby's head in that contraction. And which they did catch on to, because somebody tried to like slide a pillow underneath my legs because they're like, oh my goodness, the baby is coming right now and he can't catch it, you know, and everybody has been primed that Jonathan is to catch the baby. And so I felt like a pillow touch me. And I remember like kicking it away in total fury. Like, no, he's no. And the next contraction, I delivered her shoulders. And with all my other babies, when I have delivered the shoulders, the whole entire body comes out in that.
That's pretty typical. Yeah.
Yes. And so I delivered her shoulders. I felt both her shoulders clear. And then she stopped. And I was just like, and I had this moment of, is she stuck? You know, because you're trying to process. I'm like, what's happening? Why didn't she come out? Like, there's the shoulders. And why didn't she come out? And you know, if anybody was talking, I didn't hear them. So I don't know. It's just in my own world there. And I'm hanging out there for a second. And then it just comes to me, she's waiting.
Oh.
And I let go of my husband with both hands. And I just literally, all I said, catch the baby. And I let go. And as I let go, she let go and was delivered the rest of the way. And I remember thinking, oh my God, he didn't catch her. She fell on the ground, you know, but he did. It was just enough time. He moves fast, I guess, for a big guy, because he did. He reached down and caught her, which all my kids were in the doorway of our bedroom, and they gave him a hard time afterwards. They're like, Daddy dropped a baby on the floor because he let her butt touch the floor. As he was turning her to hand her up to me, he let her bottom rest on the floor for a second. And they're like, Daddy dropped the baby on the floor. He's like, I did not drop our baby. And I sat down. I was right next to the recliner. So I sat down in the recliner and he handed her to me. And I remember thinking, oh, I didn't get the picture, you know, because it was so fast. There's no way. Like, there's just no way how quickly it happened. And at that point, I didn't even care because we also were very much waiting to find out. This is our last baby. And we have three sons and one daughter. And my daughter has been asking for a sister since she could talk. She turns 8 at the end of the summer. And I grew up with a lot of sisters. And our first pregnancy was an early loss that was a baby girl. And so I have always carried I've always carried this prayer in my heart that that wouldn't be the only sister that my daughter has. And it's so unsettling to me that even I have heard her say that to other people. Well, I just want a sister, one that I can play with and not just the one that's in heaven. And we had always talked about, like, God chooses who the baby is going to be, and whoever it is the perfect person,
Yeah, and it's all
for our
true.
family. And when my son Gabriel was born, I did worry a little bit that she would be disappointed. But I think because she was here, and she was actually the only one of my children present at his birth because all the others slept through it.
Okay.
But she heard me, and she came downstairs, and she just laid in our bed and waited. And as soon as he was delivered, and I just like sat down on the edge of the bed and had him in my arms, and she was like, oh, give me the baby. And my husband is going, no, honey, no. He's like, the placenta's not out. Like, nobody else is holding the baby, and she's like, well, when? And he's like, not until the placenta comes out. And he's like, not for a long time. Like, only mama. And she was like, how long is a long time? Like, she was just, and she was the second person to hold him. And I think she was just so enraptured with him as a baby that it kind of gently moved her through the fact that he was a boy and not a girl. And she made a couple comments here and there, like, well, he could have been a sister. But she just loved him so dearly. And so we used that the whole pregnancy. She's like, it better be a sister. If this is the last one, it better be. I'm like, oh. And I just kept praying, oh Lord. Like, you, and I just kept telling myself, I'm like, he knows the desires of our hearts, mine and hers, and it's going to be okay either way. It's going to be okay either way. And I just kept telling her, no matter who the baby is, you will love the baby so much, because it is our baby in our family. It's who God made perfect for our family. And I told everybody, I said, even if everybody knows, don't anybody say what the baby is. Because I wanted to say what the baby was. And my husband swears that I asked him when Gabriel was born to tell me what the baby was, but I don't remember that. Because he told me, oh, it's a boy. And I was like, I wanted to say it, and you took that. And he's like, you asked me to say it. So I told everybody this. And I'm like, don't anybody say anything when you see the baby. I don't care if everybody knows. Don't anybody say anything. And it was a girl. And it was everything. All of it was everything. I'm like, every part of this, I wish that everyone could have this experience at least once. Because you have no idea. You have no idea what they've taken from you. What it's supposed to be and what it's become are so drastically different. And there is no benign choice. There are ramifications and consequences to every choice, good and bad. And I believe so strongly in, a peaceful start to your life and the impact that it has on both the baby and the mom.
Yes.
And there is nothing else, there has been nothing else in my entire life that compares to the birth of my children, but especially the ones at home. And with each increasing pregnancy and birth, as I moved more and more into less and less, I just feel so grateful. And I just wish that there was some way to show that, to communicate that to everyone, that this is within your right. This is within your, it's our birthright to have this beautiful experience, and you don't have to let someone else take it from you. Because I'll never, I live my life with an abundant mindset and a blessing mindset. I'm always looking towards that, but I do believe that is one of the greatest, that experience is one of the greatest blessings of my life. And I believe that the Lord orchestrated it to be perfectly so for all of my children to be awake. That has never happened. They're all right there in the doorway, and I think that being around, being present when their sibling is born makes it a much more gentle process welcoming the new person into the family.
Yes.
When they see it happen and even can be a part of it. All of those things factor into then the rest of the journey, the postpartum experience and the start of your new life as a family of however many you are. Thank you.
And she's back.
She's back. She doesn't
Oh.
really fit in this anymore, but it keeps her a little separated. So,
She asleep?
she's asleep.
Oh, sweet girl.
Yeah. But yeah, just the absolute best experience. So wonderful. I'm so grateful. And
And
that's why I share it. It's for everyone. Birth is for everyone.
That's such a good take-home message, and probably going to be the name of this episode. Birth is for everyone. Oh man, I'm so struck as I listen to your story by all the deep spoken, like directly prayed, and some of them maybe not directly prayed, but like God seeing so many desires of your heart and really delivering them to you with like a big bow on top in this birth.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I did get the photo too. I didn't know it.
Yes, good. Way to
I
be a
didn't
birth
know it until
photographer.
weeks later, and I messaged her. I'm like, you had to have like dove across my bed to even get the angle. I don't know how she did it, but there's a photo of the catch, and then there's a photo of his. I'm like, I want to see his face. And there's a photo of his face as he's bringing her up from the floor, and my face as I'm moving her leg
Oh my
to see
word.
that it's a girl. And I'm like, I truly, truly did receive immeasurable blessings this time, all the times, but this very much felt like just the right final piece in our journey and a lot of blessings.
Wow, yeah, you're really going out with a bang from your childbearing years of this birth. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
So good. Yeah, he was so faithful to you in so many little ways that were so deeply meaningful to you.
Yes.
And really, it seems like even just anointing your husband and anointing the photographer for like the very specific things that you needed or wanted from them, like enabling them
Yes.
to do those things, you know? Yeah, that's really sweet. Oh, so is your family feeling quite complete now that you're all here? Does it feel like you're all here?
Yes,
Yeah.
it does. I feel some sadness. I would love to just have babies for forever, but I do feel like everyone is all here and it feels very whole, very put
Amen.
together.
Oh, that's so good. What a great story. And how was your postpartum? I mean, it's not really over. You're not that far out, but like,
She's about 3 months old, so we're
that fourth trimester is kind of coming to a close then.
yes,
Yeah.
it feels like we're moving into a little bit more rhythm and routine. I mean, she's amazing, and my family has always experienced a really peaceful transition. Once I get past the breastfeeding challenges, which we always get past them, then it's so enjoyable.
Good. Oh. Wow. Thank you for sharing that story. And I was going to ask you if you had something to share with the listeners, but I feel like you already did. I feel like the message I'm hearing you say is like that you just want everyone to know that this is for you. Like what you're describing, this beautiful, uninterrupted, family-based, like faith-filled birth at home on your own terms. It's for you. Is
It
that It's
is.
kind of like your message.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope that will really encourage some people who hear this because to really believe that it can be for them personally and to go after it. Yeah. And it took you, like 10 years to get there as fully as you
Yes.
did get there, but
Yes.
yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, it's so good. Well, any other closing thoughts that you had before we wrap up?
I don't think so. That really is at the heart of when I share my story. I'm like, please know that it's been a journey, from all of these birth experiences. But I think as those of us who have had these birth experiences can share them more and more, it can shorten the journey for everyone else, as we can all speak up and share that the Western medicine narrative is not the only story that there is. I think we can collectively bring everyone else along faster,
Yeah.
if that can
Yep.
make sense.
No,
So
absolutely makes sense.
I think
Yep.
as everyone is comfortable, as they can, just to share and keep affirming each other and speaking life and truth over each other and everyone, and I believe in the impact that it's making.
Yeah. Thank you for adding your powerful story and voice to that stream of, I really do think it is a movement that's going on and something that God is up to right now of like restoring this to his kids, like I want you to have this the way that I made it to be. And yeah, we get to be part of that by telling our stories and speaking about that. So thank you,
Yes.
Stacy.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Holy Wild Birth. We hope that you were genuinely encouraged, inspired, and challenged by what you heard today. If you're loving what you hear, please make sure that you share it. Leave reviews. That helps other mamas find this content as well. And don't forget to read the show notes, okay? Because that's where you can find our email address if you want to reach out to us and start a conversation. It's also where you'll find free offerings as well as invitations to work with me and or Lauren. We can't wait to get to know you. See you next week.